my word for it, please listen to acclaimed economist and author Ben Stein.
That's right, Ray. I've been speaking and writing on the subject of retirement for years. There's no doubt everyone needs a retirement game plan and an investment strategy so their money will last as long as they do. Ray's Buckets of Money retirement income strategy is, in my humble opinion, one of the best and most conservative financial planning techniques I've ever seen. I've traveled the country with Ray, speaking in front of thousands of retirees and pre-retirees, and I urge you to attend an upcoming Ray Lucia retirement workshop or to schedule an appointment to review your retirement plan. Here's Ray to tell you more.
Call to schedule a complimentary consultation with one of my local representatives or to find out about our free financial planning workshops. Call 877-PLANNER. That's 877-PLANNER or go to 877planner.com.
Securities through Securities America, Inc. Member NASD SIPC. Ray Lucia representative.
The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Welcome to Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with your host, Dr. Parthenia Izzard. Dr. Izzard is a psychologist and certified natural health care practitioner who will show you alternative paths toward health with a holistic approach. Call with your questions or comments at 610-664-4100. Now here's the host of Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom, Dr. Parthenia Izzard.
Good morning to those of you listening to our live broadcast today, and good day to those of you listening to a rebroadcast some other time, possibly tomorrow at 7 p.m. You're listening to Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with me, Parthenia Izzard, at WWDB 860 on the AM dial. On this program, we discuss alternative medicine therapies and related products and issues. Only try the therapies shared here after consulting with your physician. Last Saturday, our guest was Clell Fowles discussing Nature's Sunshine supplements. We discussed the herb annatto and the yoga posture Virabhadrasana 1. If you missed that show, you can go to our website at www.amtherapies.com, click on the radio show link, scroll down to the show you want, and click the button under it to download the show. If you want to set up an appointment with me, call 610-660-7710. Later, when we open the phone lines, call 610-664-4100 to ask a question of our guest. Our guest today is Joan White from Iyengar Yoga. The herb of the day will be Ashwagandha, and the yoga posture is Virabhadrasana 2. Right now, it's time for our wellness news with Darcy Davis.
Good day, Dr. Izzard, and to the WWDB listening audience. I'm Darcy Davis, and today's current event in wellness, wholeness, and wisdom is yoga and depression. According to the research conducted by Amy Weintraub, author of Yoga for Depression, depression affects about 121 million people worldwide and is the leading cause of disability among people from the ages of 15 to 44. Since World War II, suicide statistics have risen and indicates that even with our increased knowledge, we have lost sight of who and what we are. This leaves us feeling isolated and alone. Yogis believe that depression is symptomatic of an individual separated from their source. Yoga, including postures, breathing exercises, and meditation, is a science of positive mental health. Practicing yoga regularly aids in removing obstacles that alienate an individual from their source. It is normal to occasionally feel down because it is a method for you to be in touch with your feelings and to get comfortable with your emotions. Severe depression can be a signal that the body requires rest and that the mind needs to take a break. Allow yourself time to feel the emotion and honor it by reading a book, taking a nap, or letting yourself have a lazy moment. However, if the feelings persist for more than a few days, it may be time to address these feelings. Yoga has regulating and energizing properties that can eradicate many of the symptoms of mild depression. Yoga postures stimulate the body and have a major effect on the nervous system. If you've been diagnosed with depression, it is important to not overexert yourself when practicing yoga, as you can experience a greater amount of fatigue than when you were not practicing. Depression lasting over 4 weeks should be treated by a medical professional. If you're having thoughts of suicide, get help immediately. Call 911 if necessary. Please bear in mind that the practice of yoga should be used to supplement conventional therapy, not replace it. This is your current event in Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom. Have a good day.
Okay, thank you, Darcy. I'm certain our guest today has recommendations for the usage of yoga for depression, so let's get to our guest quickly. She has a very extensive bio, and I'm going to cover as much of it as I possibly can. Joan White, I don't know if she wants me to give her age.
You can if you want.
Because I would like to, because she's just fabulous. She looks beautiful and looks nowhere near 63. She's a BKS Iyengar School of Yoga. She has a BKS Iyengar School of Yoga in Central Philadelphia, and she's going to be sharing all that information with you later. She began yoga studies in 1968 in Ann Arbor, Michigan, with Mary Palmer and Priscilla Neal. In 1973, she began studies with BKS Iyengar after suffering a severe back accident, and continues to study on a regular basis with BKS Iyengar and family. She returned from the 24th trip to India for yoga studies with BKS Iyengar and family December of 2004. She's practiced in all special invitational workshops given in Pune by BKS Iyengar. Level of certification is Advanced Junior 1, awarded by BKS Iyengar. There are only 9 of these at the present time in the United States, and 2 Advanced Senior 1. Her teaching experience includes beginning teaching in 1971 and has continued ever since. She began teaching in Philadelphia in 1973 and taught at the University of Pennsylvania from 1974 to 2003. She's given workshops all over the country and Hawaii, Feathered Pipe Ranch and the Omega Institute for Holistic Studies. She taught September 2000 yoga into the 21st Century Conference at that conference, sponsored by the Yoga Journal. She's taught at all Iyengar National Yoga Conventions, at a Yoga Journal convention in October of 2005, Kripala in Lenox, Massachusetts, May of 2006, annual teacher training with Patricia Walden in Cambridge, Massachusetts, annual teacher training with Gloria Goldberg, La Mesa, California, and she's run her own teacher training program. She brought Iyengar Yoga to Philadelphia and founded programs at the University of Pennsylvania and the University City Arts League. She's been a guest master teacher in yoga for Swarthmore College, 1994 to 95, which was an accredited course. She ran an Iyengar Yoga teacher training program annually, which is in its 13th year. She was awarded the Best in Philly Yoga Teacher 2001 and 03, which was the first time the award was given. Presently, the Iyengar National Yoga Association Chair of Certification and a retired board member. There's more, which I'm going to ask her about as we get into the interview. Good morning, Joan. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Fine. Briefly, could you give us a little information about that piece, referring to that piece on depression, and then follow it up with some history about Iyengar yoga?
Well, the piece that you just heard on depression didn't give you too much information about what we do about depression, but it is true that certainly Iyengar yoga has been used very effectively for relieving depression. There is presently a study going on in Southern California at the University of Southern California on depression and depression in teenagers. And there is a study that should start shortly at the Harvard Medical School using Iyengar yoga for depression. So we do have a fair amount of information on depression. Basically, we use a lot of backward bending poses and some inversions to help people, sometimes a quick forward bending session, but more backward bends than forward bends. However, if someone is suffering from serious ongoing depression, of course, we do suggest that they seek medical or psychological help to go further into that condition.
Okay, very good. Now, if you'd like, you can start giving us some background information about Iyengar. Then after our break, we can continue it.
Well, first of all, Iyengar is a living yoga master who is alive and well in Pune. He's 88, just turned 88 years old. He was in this country recently in the fall for a conference at Estes Park where I taught and several other people taught under his tutelage. Basically, he really taught. but we got up there and we tried. And he's an absolutely extraordinary man. He's just written a new book that's called Light on Life, which was the reason that he came to the country, was to promote that book. The book was published by Rodale Press, and they made a deal with him that he would come to the country, health permitting, to promote that book. And it's an excellent book on yoga and his work in yoga for the past 60 years.
Well, how did he get inspired to actually start teaching?
How did he get inspired? I think he wasn't really inspired to start teaching so much as his guru told him that he was going to have to start teaching. Okay. He came to yoga because his sister married, his eldest sister, I should say, married the person that kind of revived yoga. It had kind of faded out. And so she married this yogi, this man who brought yoga back. And he decided, well, he was very ill. He was a young child. He was very ill. He suffered from TB. And it was suggested that he go and study with her husband. Mm-hmm. And that was the beginning for him. That became his guru. And once that happened, his guru was very strict and kept him kind of working really hard. And at one point, his guru was asked to teach a number of classes at the palace in Mysore where they were living. And he was busy, couldn't do it. He sent BKS to teach the classes, and that really became the beginning of his teaching experience.
So it started out like a family endeavor, it's continued on that way. Very good. You're listening to Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with me, Parthenia Izzard. This program is sponsored by Alternative Medicine Therapies with our main office at the Tubala Plaza Building, Suite 300 in Bala-Cynwyd, Pennsylvania. Visit our website at www.amtherapies.com or call the office at 610-660-7710. Stay tuned for our return with Joan White from Iyengar Yoga.
Why should you passively exist with backaches, allergies, PMS, colds, flu, and other ailments? It's time to take charge of your life with preventive measures. Contact Alternative Medicine Therapies at 610-660-7710 for an initial consultation. Alternative Medicine Therapies offers a holistic approach to preventive care, unlike conventional medicine that tries to correct the illness that exists instead of preventing it altogether. Don't let anyone tell you that your situation is hopeless. Alternative Medicine Therapies like iridology, kinesiology, reflexology, energy medicine, which includes Qi Light therapy, acupressure, and psychological consultations has an amazing track record of positive results. Why suffer when Alternative Medicine Therapies with Dr. Parthenia Izzard is here to help? Contact Alternative Medicine Therapies today for an initial consultation at 610-660-7710 and visit their website at www.amtherapies.com. And don't miss Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom, Dr. Parthenia Izzard's radio program each Saturday morning at 8 on AM 860 WWDB.
Don't passively exist with backaches, allergies, PMS, colds, flu, and other ailments. Listen to me, Parthenia Izzard, every Saturday morning at 8 for Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom. I am a local natural healthcare practitioner and psychologist. I will show you alternative paths toward health with an holistic approach. Don't miss Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with me, Parthenia Izzard, every Saturday morning at 8, only on AM 860 WWDB. To Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with me, Parthenia Izzard, CNHP, ABD, and psychologist. Don't forget about the retreat on Cat Island in the Nassau Bahamas this July with Pamela Poitier as host and me as one of their practitioners. We're talking today with Joan White about Iyengar Yoga, and we're going to pick up a little bit and continue with more history about Iyengar Yoga.
Well, first, I'm sorry that I didn't mention the guru's actual name that Mr. Iyengar went to study with. His name was Krishnamacharya, who was a famous, I think he's very famous now in the West as well as in the East. And Krishnamacharya was a very strict teacher from what we understand. And BKS was a very good student. At first he wasn't, then he became a very good student, but he went on, he kind of, after he left his guru and went on to teach, he moved to Pune, where they were looking for a yoga teacher. He really suffered because yoga wasn't very popular, and he had no money, and he spent a lot of time basically trying to find enough money to eat. So he really didn't study all that long with Krishnamacharya, although he considers him his guru. He was sent off by Krishnamacharya to take this work on in Pune. And once he got to Pune, he began to teach military students.
Oh.
So he didn't just start out right away. He taught at the Gymkhana, where he was basically teaching men in the beginning. One of the interesting things about Iyengar is he was the first person to actually integrate yoga classes with men and women. Up until mm-hmm. that time, yoga was completely separate. Women were taught at one time and men were taught at another time. And he integrated his classes. His study of yoga is interesting because he bases his yoga on a text called the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali. And he draws his inspiration from that yoga text. Today, he's written a book called Light on the Yoga Sutras, as well as Light on Yoga, which was his main book that was done in the late 50s, came out and became the kind of Bible for all the yoga practitioners today. He went on to write a number of other books. One is Light on Pranayama. Another is Light on the Yoga Sutras. Another is this Light on Life. A lot of light.
Beautiful.
A lot of light. And he took the study of yoga in a different direction from his own guru, where they were doing yoga very rapidly, and it was basically a yoga that was taught to young people. And he said, he started to read the texts, and he wondered why he wasn't experiencing some of the experiences he was reading about in the yoga texts. Mm. And he thought that there must be another way to do the yoga. And he began to study the effects of exactly how you did something, not just that you did it, but how you do it. And this is what turned into what we call Iyengar yoga today. The how, the precision in which you do something, how what you do with your outer body and the way in which you do it not only affects your ability to stretch or to have stamina, some of the things that we know that yoga gives us, but he began to study the effects on the organic body. And then if the effects on the organic body were to change, that would mean that the effects on the mind were to change. So he began to see the links between the physical body, the organic body, the mental body. And then he saw that this also affects states of mind or states of consciousness, as we call it. So therefore, the way in which you practice was going to also affect the states, the different states of the mind, not just the emotional state, but other states as well. And as he was reading and delving into the different meanings of yoga, there are a lot of different definitions of yoga, not just unite the way people say today, mm-hmm. but there is yoga, the first definition we read in Patanjali is that yoga is the stilling of the thoughts or the stilling mm-hmm. of the chitta. And in order for these effects to take place, he realized that you would have to do the poses in particular ways. And that became, of course, the basis of what we call Iyengar yoga today.
Excellent. Now, in terms of vision, does he have a vision that has evolved or changed in some way? I know he's extended everything into the United States. He's expanded worldwide. What type of vision does he have for yoga in general or Iyengar yoga in particular?
Well, it's hard to, I don't want to put words in his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, his real vision right now is to bring yoga into India.
Okay.
He really wants to reach the people in the villages. He really wants to bring the benefits of yoga, which now are very much recognized in the West, but still not really recognized in India.
Isn't that something?
And to that effect, he has done television programs. He's been awarded the highest award that the government of India gives, which is the Padma Bhushan Award. He got, I believe it was 2 years ago, and maybe 3 years ago at this moment, which honors him and honors others for the work they've done for their country. He has a particular project right now. It's called the Bellore Project. Bellore is a tiny town outside of, what his middle name is, Bellore. It's in southern India. And he has been slowly bringing this town into the 21st century. He began by building the first elementary school in the 60s. And from there, we raised money for ambulances because they had no way to take anybody to a hospital. It's about 60 miles from Bangalore, to put it into perspective. We raised money for ambulances. He gives most of his money. Today, he gives most of the money that he has, actually, to this Bellore project. He has since gone on to build a high school for girls. He is building a university where people can study nursing. He's created jobs. He's built the first temple to Patanjali, actually, in India, has now been built in Bellore. So hopefully that will bring people to Bellore. He's put in a water system. This was a town that had no water. I had the privilege of visiting Bellore in 2004. And it's quite amazing. I mean, the man came from a single room where there were 10 children living in one room, and his father died in 1918, when he was born, in the great influenza epidemic. He was terribly poor, and he came from that background to become this leading person.
It's always wonderful when people can be socially responsible within the framework of their celebrity, and that's nice to know about. Roughly how many Iyengar schools and or institutes are there in the world? I know that's a very comprehensive question.
That is really a question that I can't answer. I would love to say I can answer it, but I can't. There are certainly hundreds.
Right.
There are certainly hundreds. Whether there are thousands, I don't know. There could be thousands. It's difficult to document because we don't have documentation for every school.
Okay.
Even in India, we are making a huge effort to get people to let them know, to get permission. You actually can't call your school an Iyengar school today without Iyengar's permission.
Excellent. Okay.
But in the past, I mean, he didn't have so much control, and so it's hard to know. Every country, for instance, I don't know how many schools they have in England, but they have a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of different centers in England. We have a number of centers in the United States, but we also have a number of smaller schools, studios that call themselves Iyengar Yoga, and we don't actually have a list of all of these schools.
I know when I was looking for a book on Iyengar Yoga at the University of Penn Book Library, or bookstore rather, it was one of the few that was on the shelf, so it's certainly very popular. I wanted to briefly talk about his wife's book, Gita Iyengar. His daughter's book, okay. Is it pronounced Gita?
Gita.
Gita Iyengar. And her book, Yoga, A Gem for Women. Can you tell our listeners what might be the added benefit of having this text?
Yoga, Gem for Women, first of all, it addresses yoga for women. And that's a benefit right there. Most of our practitioners today are women. She addresses particular women's issues that have, particularly about menstrual problems. She also gives a lot of, she has a section called Hints and Cautions. And in the section on Hints and Cautions, she gives a number of different ways of practicing a pose that particularly affect women. Certainly men can benefit. She does go into poses for how to practice if you're overweight, for instance. She also gives hints and cautions if you're suffering from menstrual problems. She has more about hints and cautions that are in light than are in Light on Yoga, because he wrote that book in the end of the 50s, and the original manuscripts was far longer, but the publisher didn't think that people would be interested in reading it. So they cut the manuscript. Whereas when she did this, it's in the beginning of the 80s, and already there was a lot of interest. So she adds a lot of information in Yoga Gem for Women that was not possible to add in Light on Yoga.
She also has some fabulous photos of her pregnant and doing the various postures. I think that's one of the benefits of both texts, is that you can really get a very good feel for how to practice different angles. They're both excellent in that regard.
Actually, it's not she who is pregnant, because Gita's not married. The pregnant woman is her sister.
Okay.
And there's actually a book Le Boyer did on yoga for pregnancy, which entirely features her sister, shows her sister doing all the poses pregnant. And there are a number of other books now on yoga for pregnancy. But Gita's book is special. Gita is a very special woman. Today she'll be 62 in December of this year. And what's very nice about both studying with the Iyengars, and to see how they have changed, how they change physically, how yoga changes as you go through the various stages of life. And Yoga, A Gem for Women, we would love to see Gita write a sequel to Yoga, A Gem for Women.
Iyengar uses the Sanskrit names of the postures. Do you encourage your students to learn Sanskrit pronunciation and meaning to gain a better understanding of the asanas?
I definitely do. I think it's really important for students to understand where this comes from. It's not a new discipline. The language of the discipline is Sanskrit. We work on the pronunciation. In my teacher training course, I have Sanskritists that actually explain how to pronounce the poses, give us some variables so that we'll be more in contact with our own heritage, if you will. And I think that it's important for people to know what the actual name of a pose is and what it comes down to us, the way it has come down to us in the classical tradition. The other nice thing about it is that I can go anywhere in the world. Light on Yoga was just translated into Chinese. It's come out in Chinese. It's in about 30 languages now. And it means that I could go to a class in China and someone could say Virabhadrasana 1 and I know what pose it was.
Very good. We have a break coming up soon, but before we go, I'd like to get a feel for maybe a story you can share based out of your teaching experience that might be encouraging to some novice or intermediate student.
Well, I could share just a story about myself, or I could share a story about one of my students. I'll share a story about a student because it came through a very, very wonderful place. I had a young student who came to me at the age of 23 who was very confused about what she wanted to do, and she had a number of serious problems, including alcoholism and some serious mental problems. So she came to class, and she had pink and blue hair. She had half of her head shaved. She was dressed in very tatty clothes, as you will. She smelled. She was really a very challenging student. That first day of class, I thought, okay, well, what will I do with this student? But I watched her working in the class, and when I watched her try, she had difficulty with some of the poses. She was all over the place. So I watched her work in the class, and I thought, well, let's see if she comes back. Especially when people have difficulty in the poses, they're not, you know, it's hard for them to come back. And she also was watching the other people's reactions to her in the class. But I saw something in that student. I saw the fact that she came to class and she was dedicated. She came back to class. She came over and over again. She became really interested in yoga. She changed her clothes. We encouraged her. I got everybody to encourage her. Little by little, she wanted to teach yoga. I told her that she was going to have to change certain things. If she wanted to teach yoga, she was really going to have to step up to the plate, and she had to get rid of a number of her attitudes. Well, 2 days ago, I went to her graduation from medical school.
Oh, my goodness. Hold that thought. You're listening to Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with me, Parthenia Izzard. This program is sponsored by Alternative Medicine Therapies, main office in Tubala Plaza, Suite 300 in Bala Cynwyd. Visit our website at www.amtherapies.com or call the office at 610-660-7710. Stay tuned for Joan White and Iyengar Yoga. Don't passively exist with backaches, allergies, PMS, colds, flu, and other ailments. Listen to me, Parthenia Izzard, every Saturday morning at 8 for Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom. I am a local natural healthcare practitioner and psychologist. I will show you alternative paths toward health with an holistic approach. Don't miss Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with me, Parthenia Izzard, every Saturday morning at 8, only on AM 860 WWDB.
Why should you passively exist with backaches, allergies, PMS, colds, flu, and other ailments? It's time to take charge of your life with preventive measures. Contact Alternative Medicine Therapies at 610-660-7710 for an initial consultation. Alternative Medicine Therapies offers a holistic approach to preventive care, unlike conventional medicine that tries to correct the illness that exists instead of preventing it altogether. Don't let anyone tell you that your situation is hopeless. Alternative medicine therapies like iridology, kinesiology, reflexology, energy medicine, which includes Qi Lai therapy, acupressure, and psychological consultations has an amazing track record of positive results. Why suffer when alternative medicine therapies with Dr. Parthenia Izzard is here to help? Contact Alternative Medicine Therapies today for an initial consultation at 610-660-7710 and visit their website at www.amtherapies.com. And don't miss Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom, Dr. Parthenia Izzard's radio program each Saturday morning at 8 on AM 860 WWDB.
You're listening to Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with me, Parthenia Izzard, ABD CNHP psychologist. Don't forget about the retreat on Cat Island in the Nassau Bahamas this July with Pamela Poitier as host and me as one of their practitioners. We're talking with Joan White about Iyengar Yoga, and she was just sharing with us an interesting story about a student whose graduation they attended recently.
Well, as I said, the bottom line of this woman has become a certified yoga teacher, and she just graduated from medical school.
Wonderful.
And has got her life completely on track and credits yoga for a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that she was able to do yoga. As far as others, I have lots and lots of different stories because I've been teaching for so long.
Well, before we get to this next story you're going to share, could you share with us your address, phone number, and web address for your school?
Sure. My school is located at 3505 Baring Street, B-A-R-I-N-G Street in Philadelphia. My website is www.joanwhite.us. It's JOANWHITE.US. And my telephone number is 215-386-9228. I'm here in Philadelphia. I teach 9 classes a week. I have an upcoming workshop at the Omega Institute for Holistic Health. You can get more information both on my website. It's the last week in June. It's a wonderful 5-day intensive course that's held up in Rhinebeck, New York. And you can get information both on my website or go to eomega, E-O-M-E-G-A, www.eomega.org.
Well, now that people ran and got a piece of paper, could you give them your address, phone number, and website again?
Of course. My address is 3505 Baring Street, B-A-R-I-N-G Street, Philadelphia, PA, 19104. My telephone number is 215-386-9228. My web address is, my website is www.joanwhite, all one word, joanwhite.us. And I hope some of you will check my website and you will find upcoming intensives that I'm doing, including this Omega Institute intensive that's at the end of June, where I'm sure there are still places for that. Others have gone by, and then if you continue to check my website, you can find out where I am.
Very good.
Forever.
You want to go on with another story that you'd like to share?
Well, I think that, you know, people that come into yoga, people look around and they always want to see who can do it better than they can do it. And it becomes the main focus is, oh, I'm not good enough. I can't do it. And so when I came to Iyengar, I had a broken back and I had to look around and say, well, okay, I could do those things. And now suddenly I can't do it. And I said to him, how am I going to come to class? I met him the night before the classes started. And he said, well, you just go to class and you'll do what you can do and I'll watch you. And I went to class and I thought, okay, I can do this. And I started doing things, and some things I could do and some things I couldn't do at all. And when we came to doing any backward bending actions, I started to pass out from pain. And he looked at me and he said, with pain like that, you can't do this. Well, here it is, quite a number of years later. And I went to his backbend intensive, he only had 35 teachers from around the world that he invited to come to that. And I did just about everything that everybody did in that backbending intensive. So I guess the moral of the story is, if you just have patience, if you work slowly,
relax in the posture,
relax,
breathe,
and pay attention to what you're doing. Mm. I recently had another serious horseback riding accident. Mr. Iyengar was very upset when he said he found out that I was riding at all. Mm-hmm. It was a kind of a freak accident, and I had to really go back to square one. And my students have watched me come from being able to do nothing from last summer to I'm back doing not all of the postures yet, it's too soon, but I'm back doing most of the poses. And they've seen somebody who was able to do everything as far as they were concerned. Of course, I couldn't do everything, but have to go back to square one and start very slowly to work myself back into it. And I think that's really the key. Unfortunately, the people today, they have in mind that they have to do the poses perfectly.
Quickly.
They have to do the poses intelligently. Mm-hmm. If you have a problem, very often the problem comes from not working intelligently. And if they think about yoga as only a physical practice, they really miss out on the essence of yoga.
Most definitely. Can you share some research-based information for us? I think it's important for people to know that the benefits of yoga are not just things that people talk about as old wives' tales or things that have been handed down only, but that there's actual current research that supports the effectiveness of these postures.
Yes, I can share what I know. I mean, there's a lot of research going on that I don't know about it. But as far as Iyengar Yoga is concerned, we have several NIH-funded projects going on. In fact, I have one today that's going on right now through the University of Pennsylvania, through the hospital at the University of Pennsylvania, and we are studying the effects of yoga on high blood pressure that is stress-related, on hypertension that's stress-related. And while it's a three-year project and we have only run a few of our cohorts, So we haven't got any kind of final information. We're certainly seeing positive information to suggest that this is a good way to go. We have studies going on back injuries that the NIH is funding that are taking place in West Virginia under my colleague Lois Steinberg. We have studies going on in UCLA, as I mentioned, on yoga and psychotherapy. And so far, all of these things are showing very positive results. There have been many studies in the past. There's a study that was done on carpal tunnel
syndrome
that showed that yoga was actually, the people that did yoga had more and quicker effects, better effects and quicker effects than the people that were on traditional programs. One of the things in India, they did a study on yoga and heart and in heart disease that was done, but it wasn't done on Western, up to Western standards. That was, they came out with great results. But one of the reasons that we're running these studies now is so that they can be recognized by the medical profession, because we have blind studies, we have statistical studies. We are following the road or the route that will be acceptable by the AMA, so that our studies will now be acceptable and be able to be used in this country. There's so much that can be said that is not acceptable by the AMA, and that's why it's so important for us to get these studies done properly.
Very good. Can you briefly, if you can briefly, talk about how Iyengar has the book, at least this one, the Yoga, the Iyengar Way, laid out, and the courses laid out. You have, for example, course one that goes from 1 to 12 postures. Then you have course two where it goes from 1A to 1D for each number of 1 through 9. And then the course three, so forth and so on. And everything's laid out in a very organized fashion. What kinds of, consolidations at the end of each program. What kind of reasoning or rationale applies to why he set it up that way?
Well, actually, Yoga the Iyengar Way was written by three of his, a mother and her son and daughter. And I'm sure that they checked everything out with him. The first part is to get people going. And you need to have a base. And so the first series that you are looking at is a series to give you a solid base from which, once you have that solid base, which may take you however long it takes you, although these things are sometimes given time frames, of course, for each person it's different. Once you have the base, then they go on to set out. In course one, there are standing poses, forward bending poses, emphasis on different the different poses, and also restorative poses. And then they just get more difficult as you go to course two, course three. And they are set out to give the student a variety. And the consolidation areas are very important, because you can't always be learning something new. You have to stop and stay with something for a while, see how it affects you, what you're getting, what you're not getting.
Very good. And we're going to come back with that. And I want some suggestions. But in the meantime here, you're listening to Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with me, Parthenia Izzard. The program is sponsored by Alternative Medicine Therapies, with our main office at the Tubala Plaza, 300 Suite. Visit our website at www.amtherapies.com or call the office at 610-660-7710. We'll be back with Joan White and Iyengar Yoga.
Why should you passively exist with backaches, allergies, PMS, colds, flu, and other ailments? It's time to take charge of your life with preventive measures. Contact Alternative Medicine Therapies at 610-660-7710 for an initial consultation. Alternative Medicine Therapies offers a holistic approach to preventive care, unlike conventional medicine that tries to correct the illness that exists instead of preventing it altogether. Don't let anyone tell you that your situation is hopeless. Alternative Medicine Therapies like Iridology, Kinesiology, Reflexology, Energy Medicine, which includes Qi Light Therapy, acupressure, and psychological consultations has an amazing track record of positive results. Why suffer when Alternative Medicine Therapies with Dr. Parthenia Izzard is here to help? Contact Alternative Medicine Therapies today for an initial consultation at 610-660-7710 and visit their website at www.amtherapies.com. And don't miss Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom, Dr. Parthenia Izzard's radio program each Saturday morning at 8 on AM 860 WWDB.
Don't passively exist with backaches, allergies, PMS, colds, flu, and other ailments. Listen to me, Parthenia Izzard, every Saturday morning at 8 for wellness, wholeness, and wisdom. I am a local natural healthcare practitioner and psychologist. I will show you alternative paths toward health with an holistic approach. Don't miss Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with me, Parthenia Izzard, every Saturday morning at 8, only on AM 860 WWDB. Okay, you're listening to Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with me, Parthenia Izzard. Don't forget about our retreat on Cat Island in the Nassau Bahamas in July with Pamela Poitier as host and me as one of the practitioners. We're talking with Joan White about Iyengar Yoga, and she's going to give us a little information about, you know, getting through the courses.
Okay. Well, I was just sitting here thinking about how one practices. I notice in the back of Yoga, the Iyengar Way, she does give this series of courses. And one of the things that we have to think about, she makes a suggestion. She has one day you practice standing poses from 1A and another day you practice standing poses from 1B because they're two different series of standing poses. And basically, in our system, we practice a lot of standing work because it gives stability. And that's really important, not just stability to it's mental stability and physical stability, and they build up stamina. Now, standing poses are hard, and when you first start practicing, you get tired. So you have to cut down. You have to set yourself a reasonable amount of time to practice. If you don't get through the entire series, for instance, let's say you're following one of the series in the book, and you don't have time to do the whole series, well, that's okay. Just make sure that you finish the series. The important part is to finish the series with Shavasana, the resting pose. That you start the series, maybe you only have 10 minutes or 15 minutes. You don't have a half an hour or an hour. So pick out a couple of standing poses and then pick out something. If you're ready for inversion, if you started an inversion, you do an inversion. But make sure that you end your practice with Shavasana, which is the relaxation pose. You do your more difficult poses towards the beginning of, you start out a little bit slowly, you do build up to your more difficult pose, and then you slow down and you finish up lying on the floor. Mm-hmm. The important thing is to set an amount of time that you will actually be able to do. Very often what practitioners, beginning students think, oh, I had an hour and a half class. I have to do everything we did in the class. And of course, you can't do everything we did in the class, and you don't have time to do everything at the beginning of the class. You get very discouraged, and you just kind of blow the whole thing off. Instead, figure out a reasonable amount of time, pick some of these poses, work on them, do your Shavasana.
Very good. Before we get too far in this segment, normally my listeners know at the end of the program we highlight a yoga posture. So instead of doing that today, since we have an Iyengar person here, we're going to sort of talk about it during the interview. Today's posture or asana was Virabhadrasana 2. So could you sort of talk a little bit about the practice while you're gathering your thoughts on that, I did want to mention some of the health benefits. It strengthens the leg, thigh, abdominal, and neck muscles, tones the abdominal and pelvic organs, removes stiffness from all joints, reduces fat around arms and thighs, elongates and strengthens the spine, improves stamina. Some of the indications would be weakness of arms and legs, disorders of abdominal and pelvic organs, arthritis, obesity involving arms, thighs, or abdomen, and stiffness of the spine.
Wow. What a great pose.
Yes, it is.
I think we should all be doing Virabhadrasana 2. For some of you who don't know, Virabhadrasana 2 is the warrior pose that's done with one leg at a right angle, the other leg is straight, and both arms stretched to the side, and the head looking over the forward arm. What's interesting about this pose, in addition to everything else, it also relieves calf cramps and thigh cramps, should you happen to be suffering from them. And it's a wonderful pose because, actually, if you think about it, it's a warrior pose, and warriors, it's actually named after a mythological figure who was larger than life. And when we do this pose, it has a lot of power to it, and we feel larger than life. It's a very empowering pose to do Virabhadrasana too. Some of the things you might want to think about, the things that you really want to pay attention to, first of all, when you are doing this pose, is that when you jump out about 3.5 to 4 feet apart, and you are bending you'll be keeping your, let's say you're going to the right, so your right leg is turned out 90 degrees to the right while your left leg is straight. You are, the only thing that you're actually doing is to bend your leg. You're not bending the spine. The spine remains straight. You're starting from a straight position. Your arms remain stretched to the side. But the big movement is to bend the right leg. And that leg, when it bends, has to bend in a straight line. So it goes directly forward towards the center of your foot. The other thing is that, so the knee shouldn't drop inward or outward. The other thing that you want to be absolutely clear about is that the inner knee should be in line to the inner ankle. When that happens, the pose becomes a healthy pose for the knees. The left leg is kept straight. It's a major hip opener, this pose. It's a major hip opener. It can be done by people who are overweight if they do it against the wall. So if you are suffering from obesity, you can do this pose by standing either with your back to the wall or with one foot to the wall.
We're coming to the end of our wonderful interview here, and the time has flown. Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom is the name of the program. What wisdom can you share with us? What wisdom can you share with our listeners that they can leave with that will encourage them in their practice?
Wow, that's a big question.
For the last question.
You're more than your body. I think the thing that I want you to realize is that everybody has a core, and that core is the pure self. And when you do yoga, you work from your core, and it doesn't make any difference if you're thin, if you're fat, whatever you are, you're more than your body, and yoga can really help you to recognize that.
Thank you so much, Joan White, and we're going to have you come back again sometime. Take care.
Thank you.
I think now is time for Elise's morsel of wisdom.
Hi, Auntie Par. This is your niece Elise from Westchester, New York. Today I'm going to talk to you about why I love vegetables so much. Have you ever thought about what might be happening to your body when you eat vegetables? I like to think about how my body is getting healthier. It's great how they also make a good snack during sports events. I, for one, like how they taste. Anyone who doesn't like them might like them much more with their preferred pepper or some sea salt. Even I sometimes turn down certain vegetables like greens if they're not seasoned. Though, it's better if you use healthy seasonings and don't smother the nutrients with things like salt. Spinach is surprisingly the same. If you season it right, it tastes heavenly, just like broccoli. Well, that's all my time for today. See you next time, and I wish you all a salubrious day.
Isn't she wonderful? I just love to hear that one. Anyway, our yoga, our herb for the day was ashwagandha, and the part of the herb that is used medicinally are the phytochemicals, alkaloids, beta-cystosterol, chlorogenic acids, scopolamine, and the nutrients are amino acids and choline. Next weekend, our guest is going to be Max Z from Millennium Day Spa in Wynwood, Pennsylvania. The herb will be Barberry, and the featured yoga asana is Ardha Chadrasana. We want to invite you to send in current events items, morsels of wisdom, if you will, from young people about alternative medicine therapies or anything related to wellness, wholeness, and wisdom. Remember, this is sponsored by Alternative Medicine Therapies. Our website is www.amtherapies.com. We invite you to participate in our blog, subscribe to our newsletter, download or listen to radio programs, and see who our future guests will be from week to week. Also, find out what we're all about. This is Wellness, Wholeness, and wisdom. Be well.
AM 860 is WWDB Philadelphia, the